probably not long before you be planning that vacation. Because it'll be snowing here. You say maybe something warm might be kind of nice. So we got a call, Sam. Let's see what we got. Hi there. You're on the air. Who's this?
Good morning.
It's Tyler from Tumalo. How the dickens are you?
Well, I just thought I'd call in and tell you howdy. There are still some loyal listeners out there.
Well, I think there's a few of you, but Tyler, I really appreciate you keeping me on task. Things going okay in your corner of the world?
Yeah, still simmering along with the probate activity. I got some paperwork I got to file. You know,
nice.
My mother's estate, et cetera. But no, things are good. Running chainsaw and going like heck.
Well, good for you. Well, you have fun with that chainsaw and be safe, would you, young man?
All right. Well, anyway, I just wanted to call and say howdy, and you have a great day.
Thank you, Tyler, for your call. Really, really appreciate it.
All right.
Uh-huh. Bye now. You know, that whole probate and estate planning thing is just so, so important. I guess I can't impress it enough. It's it seems that not a week goes by these days that I'm not chatting with somebody because, you know, we're getting elderly or we have elderly parents. And, you know, so many people just think that, you know, because they're moving along, they got Social Security, they got Medicaid, they own their house and everything's all covered and they're all done. And it's just really not quite that simple. And it's something that... it's good to get some counsel, and it's good to have somebody review your stuff and be ready to go so that you don't, you know, really leave a pretty daunting task for some folks, particularly if you're separated by some miles. You know, it's one thing if you live across town from one another. It's a completely different thing if you live across the mountains, and it's even a bigger thing if you live in a different state. So anyway, you know, be mindful of those folks. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about today, I've been hitting at it here a bit, and the main reason for that is it's representative of so many things that are happening in Oregon in general and happening throughout the country. But there was a desire, it was really, really sort of spearheaded by Tina Kotek, who's currently running for governor, to implement this program, which was named Senate Bill 608. And Senate Bill 608, you know, sort of had some honorable initial intent, which was that it was to, you know, sort of limit the ability for folks just to come in and for no reason at all, you know, vacate the building and do something completely different with it. So they dealt with that from a no cause eviction deal, and we'll kind of talk about that just a little bit, because once the door was open, it was a little bit like this inflation reduction plan that went through this last week that really doesn't do any inflation reduction, but it spends a whole bunch of money. And then the other aspect of it was rent control. And rent control sounds pretty simple, sounds pretty honorable, so that, you know, people aren't just pushed out of their property because they can't afford it any longer. And so this year, one example of that, of the rent control, basically what was implemented in Measure 608 was that the rent rates could not be increased by anything more than 7% plus the CPI. That's the consumer price index. So the consumer price index in recent years has been very low. So what that meant is for the last couple of years, they had 9.9% increase. Well, so that sounds fine. You know, you've got $900 a month rent. You can't raise it by more than $90. It doesn't sound like anybody's going to get pushed out at that. And it takes a long time at, you know, $90 and then $99. And then, you know, as it scales up, it takes a long time to catch up. But the unfortunate aspect of that is that a lot of landlords, to the tenant's benefit, generally speaking, aren't really aggressive on increasing the rents every single time that they have an opportunity. And if they have a good solid rent, I encounter it all the time where people have had a rental property, they've had it for a number of years, the tenant's been there for a while, the tenant always pays on time, they're doing a great job, they even do some of the minor maintenance themselves, maybe even water the lawn, you know, they do some things like that. So the landlord isn't particularly motivated to jack their rent every opportunity that they have. But then what happens is That puts them in a compromising position, either them and or their heirs, in a compromising position, because let's say that you have a rental property and the renter that is in there currently is paying $750 a month because they've been there for the last 10 years. But if that property was out on the open market today, it could bring $1,800 a month. Well, that's a heck of a large gap. Well, you can see that at 10% per year, it's going to take you 100 years to catch up with the market rate. You know, so it's not realistic. So it puts the landlord in a difficult position where it forces them to implement. They don't necessarily have to maximize, but it basically forces them to put in an annual increase of the rents each year so that they can protect themselves on the valuation of their property. Because when and if it comes time to sell the property, rental properties are generally sold on a basis of their rental income. There's what's called a capitalization rate. It's the amount of income, net operating income, divided into the sales price, and that gives you a percentage relationship. This is one of those where, if you're ever interested in it, you know, one of the things that we first learned when we're doing this is a thing called IRV, and it's a income, rate, and value. And so if you draw a triangle and you put IRV on the triangle, put the I at the top, the R at the bottom left, and the value on the bottom right, then whatever you're solving for, it sort of shows you how to do the mathematical equation. You draw a line across, obviously, between the I and the the R and the V. And so that way, if you want to find out what the value is, you divide the rate into the income. If you want to find out what the rate is, you divide the value, you divide the rate into the income if you want the value. And if conversely, if you want it the other way, you divide the value into the income and it'll give you the rate. Or if you want to know what the income is, you multiply the rate across the bottom into the value and it'll give you the income. So it's a real easy way to sort of do basic algebra 101, and IRV will allow you to make it work. Well, most people, you know, when it comes to apartments, like apartments right now in Central Oregon, they figure, well, you know, they're about $250,000 a door is about what they're worth. Well, we're seeing duplexes obviously considerably higher than that. But that sort of gives them a thumbnail approach. Well, if they are looking at a property, let's say it's a fourplex, they're looking at a property and the rental units are well under value and they realize that they can't evict the tenant and they can't catch up at 9.9% over a period of time, then it doesn't justify today's market values because it's bringing in substandard rents. So it's a difficult kind of catch-22. Now this year, what has happened is because of all of the inflationary pressures and all that sort of thing, the consumer price index has jumped up fairly dramatically right now. So now suddenly what we're looking at on these rental increases is they can go up to 14.6%. Well, that obviously is terrifying to potential renters. And, you know, it offers a glimmer of hope to, you know, some of the purchasers that have properties that are well behind value. But again, the person that's picking up the slack on the whole deal is the renter. The renter really isn't being held off in a safe harbor, isn't being rewarded for being a good tenant. It sort of, again, puts the property owner, puts the management company into a position where they need to keep pushing and keep accelerating that income. On the backside of it, on the no cause eviction side, so as you can see, the rental rates, and the rental rates, this is all a part, you know, we've talked about this a number of different times. You know, we go around and we talk about, well, is it interest rate? Well, is it, you know, the disparity between appreciation and income not moving as fast? You know, where is the scarcity of land? Where is this value coming from? And there is a dramatic shortage of properties in general. I think the number is 5.5 million throughout the country. And the reason for that is, in part, land use issues new land use policies don't allow a lot of available land. So, you know, you're very, very hard pressed to find tracts of affordable housing, which used to be fairly common. So there's not a lot of new inventory for people to have opportunity to buy into the economy being built new right now. All the homes that are being built are a little bit higher end. The other thing is that as we went into the recession, builders stopped building. Well, there were still people coming of age that were millennials and X-gens and that were coming of age that wanted to buy a home, wanted to enter into the market. So those numbers continued to grow, but there was no inventory coming in. Then we went through the pandemic, and once again, the builds were slow, the supply line was slow, and so what's happened is there's really nothing much available to either rent or buy at this time because of the shortage of overall housing. So that's what continues to put the pressure on both the overall values and also on the rent. And it's just moving them, you know, sort of exponentially out. So where on the local level, we try to lay that pressure on, oh, it's the realtor's fault, or, oh, the builders are being greedy, or, you know, I think you could make a somewhat of a valid point. If you wanted to find someone that was really impactful on a close level, looking at the land use issues and fees is probably a reasonable place to start, but it goes even higher than that. But there needs to be a time for, you know, these properties to be able to be developed. So what happens in the no cause eviction is that there's a very structured format as to what you can do to serve somebody notice to move from your property. And in essence, it really empowers the tenant on the property a little bit more than the property owner. And in the event they don't do things correctly, the enforcement on the backside is if the landlord violates the new provisions, that they're liable for 3 months' rent plus any actual damages. So, again, I mean, if you got a $1,500 a month rent and someone finds that you did something wrong in your eviction process, that's $4,500 plus any actual damages that they could find or could come up with. So there's a fair amount of exposure. And so it's written in such a manner that you can't sell the property with tenants in place without going through a process there as well. You know, so if someone says, you know, I'd really like to buy that fourplex, but I want to buy it with no tenants in it so that I can remodel all the units and put in my own tenants and do that. Well, that's way more difficult than it is to say. So there's a number of different things that that are happening, but the most important thing that's happening is it's not allowing the tenant-landlord relationship to really be reflective of their relationship, and it allows that there's more process being in, which quite honestly favors sort of the larger management companies, and it does a disservice to some of the tenants. So what we're seeing is that rental rates are going up at an exponential rate. Part of the reason that they're going up at an exponential rate is because there's an annual increase that needs to go in, because anybody that has rental units realizes that it's not to their advantage to accelerate those rents as fast as they can. So what we're going to see this year, we're going to see a little bit of that, you know, 15% increase, which, you know, is going to have some impact on some people. But I think that it's really, really interesting that when, you know, I refer to it as they put their thumb on the scale, you know, when they come in and try to put their thumb on the scale. But again, this is one of those laws that was enacted under executive action during our state of emergency. It was pushed through. It wasn't vetted. Nobody had the opportunity to appeal it. And then after it was put in, they did another little layer so that it can't be appealed after the point. And it's just really it doesn't do what it's intended to do. And rent controls have really never worked. You know, the beneficiaries of rent controls like in New York and in San Francisco are those people that get into an apartment and have had it for years, had it in the family, and generally they're high net worth individuals, but it doesn't do anything for the people that are at the entry level of the market. So it's really, in my estimation, a really bad piece of legislation, and it's one of the things that is that renters are paying for on a monthly basis. So that was the only thing that I wanted to bring up. I just happened to be working on some of that this week, and it's you know, once you get in and sort of peel it back, it's really interesting how much it's disrupted so many things. And it once again isn't promoting small business and isn't promoting a good working relationship between the customer and the provider of the services. So we come back, we'll talk a little bit. I discovered an interesting website, which, you know, if you're a little bit of a geek like I am, then you might enjoy as far as getting some of this information and getting the real data from the real source, and that's called the Fred Charts. It has nothing to do with me. That's actually the St. Louis Federal Reserve Bank. But we'll be able to talk about that. And then, as I promised, we'll talk a little bit about some of the commercial real estate trends that are happening in the country and some prognostication there from Cushman Wakefield, one of the largest commercial brokerages in the country, just recently put out a deal. I'd be more than glad to share that link with you if you would be interested in that as well. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today to Ask Fred Johnson here on FM News 100, 1110, KBND.